So, as you see, the topic of the shiur is a little bit long, right? And the Hebrew I called it Hanefer Bahabikur, the Sefer Reishit Vishir Hayam, of the Tziat Mitzrayim, as in English, the moral and theological implications of the Tziat Mitzrayim, both in Sefer Reishit and in Shir Hayam, which is really two shiurim in one, and I couldn't decide which to give, so I smushed them all into one, and we'll see how far we get. Maybe we'll just, full man is. Okay, what I really wanted to begin with, the central question the premise that I wanted to begin with is, what was the function, what was the purpose, and why did Hashem force Bnei Yisrael to suffer the ordeal of Mitzrayim, of Kibud Mitzrayim, right, of the years of slavery, right, in Mitzrayim? Why did they have to undergo such an experience? Now, obviously, we can't know why God does what he does, but we see that, right, in terms of how they have this throne, we're just trying to get some type of an understanding of, is there anything that we can, right, any kind of lesson we can learn from this? You see, basically, in the Mepharshim, two general approaches. One is that you see that Kibud Mitzrayim is some type of an onesh, some type of a punishment, or some type of a sin that was done either by the Avos. You have that, the famous Ramban, which we'll actually look at, where the Ramban thinks that because Avraham Avinu went down to Egypt during the famine. You have the Abarbanel, who says it's some type of a punishment for the selling of your state. You have the Nukiv, who says it wasn't the fate of the Avos, but it was the fate of Bnei Yisrael themselves in Mitzrayim, because they didn't behave properly, therefore they had to be punished for slavery. Right, so that's one approach. The second approach is the approach that we're going to focus on, and which I think is actually borne out in the Pesukim of the Torah itself, which is the idea that the experience of Mitzrayim, the experience of Kibud Mitzrayim, was a purposeful experience that Hashem forced Bnei Yisrael to undergo in order to forge them into some type of a nation with a specific mission, with a specific destiny, or with a specific consciousness, with a specific understanding. Okay, and that I think we see, we have the same concept twice in Torah, once in Devarim, once in Yirmiyahu, where you see how many times it's described as the Kur HaBarzel, right? In Devarim, that Tzema Kach Hashem Yotzil Tzema Kur HaBarzel, right? In Yirmiyahu, right? Again, we just follow on the sources, this is the first thing on the top. Okay, Biyom Otzil Tzema Yotzil Tzema Kur HaBarzel, Kur HaBarzel meaning, right, some type of a refinery, a metal refinery, right, in which one refines, metal, purifies it in order to make it workable, right? And what was the purpose of the Kor HaBarzel? Why did Hashem, right, what was the end result, what was the end goal of this refinement? And both to him, Liyot Lo La'am, right, in Devarim, Liyot Lo La'am, and in Yirmiyahu, Vayitim Li La'am, right, the purpose of the Mitzrayim experience is to make Am Yisrael into, right, God's nation with a very specific mission. Now, what's that mission? Also, I think right now I have not yet said anything that you haven't said, or right, that's not particularly new. Right, we have all over Devarim, right, all over post the Mitzrayim, and all over Chumash, right, that what was the end goal of the experience of slavery, or what consciousness was Bnei Yisrael supposed to exit with? Clearly, right, the moral understanding of how to treat other people, right? And again, you see over and over in Devarim and in Shmot and in Vayikra, right, that every time Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael, right, you must behave a certain way. But again, if you look in your Pesukim, the first one is Devarim, you're not allowed to keep another Jew as a slave. Like, there's no such thing as slavery, a Jewish slavery. Why? Right? But the heart to give any to Beretz Mitzrayim. Right? And again, the basis of our moral understanding, of our moral sensitivity, comes from, right, the ger lo tomer, the lo tuchetenu, ki geim heitu Beretz Mitzrayim, the ger lo tuchas, batem negatim et nefesh hager, ki geim heitu Beretz Mitzrayim. Right? That we have to be sensitive to the weak, to the oppressed, right, to the impoverished and the poor, the downtrodden society. Right, and what is our basis for that empathy and that sensitivity? Our experience in Mitzrayim. And again, what you have in the Vayikra, right? Again, an example of you're not allowed to have a slave, right? Why? Because obviously we're not slaves. You have a guy, hey, Mashiach, take me to the society. And in Devarim, right, this is a general mitzvah, the mitzvah of Lechet, hey, and Shechacha, that you have to leave over food for the poor. There's a chai to give it to Beretz Mitzrayim. Okay. So that's obviously one part, one component, one central component of the theatrical experiences to develop in us this moral sensitivity. But there's another aspect as well, and that's only half of the picture, right? It's not just that we have a morally sensitive soul, but that what is the function? Why has God given us this sensitivity? And the answer is that what's the main reason said over and over in the theatrical itself? Why does God say, why did I take you out of the science? Right, and the answer is, as you'll see in the next set of sources, that God said, I took you out of the science because you are my people. You have a destiny, not just for yourself, right? Not just right, an internal message for Amishel, but because you have a message to the entire world, right? Meaning, I take you out of the science, and now you have to take the message that I implant in you, right? This message of morality. It's not just a moral message for Amishel themselves, but it's a moral message that you are meant, right, to teach to the entire world, right? I am God, not just of the Jews, right? The function of the Amishel is to show the world that I control the world, right? And therefore, because I control the world, my rule has to be over the world, and my rule is the moral rule, right? The moral message, right, that you, Bnei Yisrael, have to go now and, excuse me, and extend over the whole world. And again, if you look in Shemot, right, over and over and over, why is Hashem sending Makot? Why is Hashem plaguing Mitzrayim? Why is Hashem plaguing Paro? And you do Mitzrayim Ki'ani Hashem. Bezo Tedak Ki'ani Hashem. Laman Tedak Ki'ani Hashem Lokeinu. I'm just looking at the bowls in every pasuk. Right, and again, if you look at the context of the Pesukim, this is why I'm giving you the Makot, and this is why I'm separating from Israel, and this is why I'm making you suffer in this way and that way. Laman Tedak Ki'ani Hashem Lokeinu. Laman Tedak Ki'ani Hashem Bekerah Ba'aret. Ba'avur Tedak Ki'ani Kamoni B'chol Ha'aret. Laman Tedak Ki'ani Hashem Ha'aret. Right, Yadakan Ki'ani Hashem, Ki'ani Hashem, Ve'yadu Mitzrayim Ki'ani Hashem. Right, very, very clearly, right, the message of the Biyat Messiah is there is one God, he controls the world, right, he controls the universe, right, and again, if you put the two pieces together, Bnei Yisrael, as the nation of God, are meant, right, to impose or to, right, help the world function under God's rule, which is the rule of ethics and morality, okay, which again, those of you who were in my class, this is no finish, right? This is what we say over and over and over. Right? But this is just by way of introduction. What I want to see is how we see this message both as a precursor to Yetziyat Mitzrayim in Sefer Bereishis, and I want to look also at Shirat Hayat, right, which is what this is, Parsha, right? The Shirat that Bnei Yisrael say on the Yam, how it reflects Bnei Yisrael's understanding of their own message and of their own destiny. Okay, just before we move on to that, so let's just look quickly at this midrash that I brought you, which expresses this idea that we just said. Okay, it's a Shmot Rabbah. Okay, Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, they go to Midbar Shur. Okay, so what does the midrash say? What is the meaning of this phrase, Midbar Shur? And it's a place, but what's the significance of the word? Right, Mahu Midbar Shur. Ella Ashlo Yatsu Yisrael Mitzrayim Hayah Ha'olam Midbar, Kevan Shiyatsu Nesah Ha'olam Shur. Right? Meaning until Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the world was a midbar. A midbar in the sense of a wilderness, a place of desolation, a place of lawlessness, right? A place of no order, right? Until Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, right? The world was a lawless place. Once Bnei Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, right? The world becomes a place of shur, I think here from Lashon Shurot, right? Order, structure. Right, meaning, right, Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, and their purpose is, right, to help give the world some type of meaning, and again, some type of moral imperative, some type of message, right, for the world, and again, this continues, we're straight from this idea, but the rest of this midrash, the Baracher, Asher Elo Kiblu Yisrael HaTorah, Hayah HaOlam Asur Nidbar, Kevan Shikiblu HaTorah, Nasah HaOlam Shur. Again, right, meaning it's not just the Tziat Mitzrayim, but it's the getting of the Torah, right, until Bnei Yisrael got the Torah, the whole world was a place of moral lawlessness, right? Once Bnei Yisrael accepts the Torah, if that transforms, again, not just Bnei Yisrael, but the entire world. Okay, so now what I want to look at, right, is how we see this idea again, right? First of all, in a place that we don't usually look, right, when we look for the message of Yad Mitzrayim, where we usually look at the Pesukim that we've just done very quickly, right, in Devarim, and Shnod, and Vayikra, right? What are the ramifications of Hashlachot, right? Hashlachot is in future ramifications of the Tziat Mitzrayim, but we don't usually look in Bereishi before Tziat Mitzrayim to see are there any right prequel, right, pre-echoes of the Tziat Mitzrayim before the actual events of Beit HaShemot, and if there are, Right? What are the messages of those precursors? And there are actually two very interesting pre-echoes of these Yom Yisrael and Sefer Bereishit, two stories that, excuse me. Two stories that if you look at them, we see very many both conceptual and linguistic parallels from stories of the atmosphere. One we alluded to in the beginning for 1 second, the Ramban picked up on it already. It was very, very famous Ramban. The story of Abraham going down to Mitzrayim, okay? And the other story is the story of Yaakov in the house of Lavan in Haran. As we'll see, both of these stories very, very much parallel and echo the story of Mitzrayim. Okay, so let's start with the story of Abraham. Okay, again, this is when Abraham enters the land, like he comes into Eretz Israel, and all of a sudden there's a famine, right? Abraham is struck with a famine, and therefore he decides to take his family and to go down to Egypt, right? And he's sustained there, and if you recall the story, right, he goes down and he hides Sarah, he says, he says, say you're my sister, and Paro takes him anyway, and then Paro is smitten, and then he leaves. Right? And again, if we look at the Pesukim, we'll see very many parallels to the story of Bnei Israel in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. So again, on the right side of the page, we have the Pesukim of Yerushat, Abraham, Mitzrayim, Abraham going down to Mitzrayim, and on the left side, Tozot Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Bnei Israel going down to Mitzrayim. So if we take a look, okay, this is in Bereishit Perek Yud-Bet, but if you look, the first Pasuk, Vayered Abra Mitzrayim, Lagur Shan, Ki Tavid Hara'av Ba'ar. So, Vayered Abra Mitzrayim, we have parallels when Bnei Yisrael go down to Mitzrayim in Bereishit, Vayerdu Achei Yosef Mitzrayim, Vayerdu Mitzrayim, Vayerdu Avateinu Mitzrayim, right? Yeridat Mitzrayim, okay? Lagur Shan, right? Bereishit Nun Zayin, Lagur Ba'aret Banu, say Bnei Yosef, right? And we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu also, literally, Lagur Sham. Bnei Yisrael go down, Lagur Sham. Ki kaveh la'aretz b'ra'av, in Bereishit. Why did Bnei Yosef, Bnei Yaakov go down to Mitzrayim? V'hara'av kaveh la'aretz, ki kaveh hara'av ba'aretz kana'an. Right? Same words. Okay. Continuing. Right? Avram says to Sarah, tell them you're my sister. Right? Why? Because, right? Otherwise, v'hargu oti v'otach yechayu. They will kill me, the male, and they will leave you, the female, alive. Right, again, a parallel in the story of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, right? Right, in Ben Hu, the Hamtein Otov, in Zaki V'chaya, Ko Ben Hayelot Hayorot Hishlichuhu V'cho Habat Yichayun. Right, the man will be killed, the males will be killed, and the women will survive. Okay, V'chaita Nafshi Biglalech, right, says Abraham. And again, in the Bereishit, Ki L'michyesh L'chani Elohim B'fnechem, V'lechyos L'chem V'chaita. The same word here, L'michyesh, right, for to be sustained, we have both with Abraham and in the story of Shiva Mitzrayim. And again, right now, Pasuk Yidal, Vayhi Kivo Abraham Mitzrayim. Abraham comes down to Mitzrayim. And again, this Lashon of Lavo Mitzrayim. We have in Bereishit, Vayaviu et Yosef Mitzrayim. The Chozarel Tivi Oto Mitzrayim. The Elishmael Benesho Habaim Mitzrayim. Right? Lavo Mitzrayim, we have again in both stories. Okay, now again, Avram in Mitzrayim becomes very wealthy, right? Vayhilo Sonu Bukharek Malim, right? Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim also have a lot of Shon Uzakar, right? Vegam Mekneinu Yeles Itana, right? They're both very heavy in livestock. Okay, Avraham leaves with, Avraham Kaved Ma'od Bechesef Uvizahav, Avraham leaves with gold and silver. Bnei Yisrael, when they leave Mitzrayim, Mishallah Yisrael Mishchareta Umigerek Beitak, Bnei Yisrael leave with gold and silver, right? Abraham leaves, right, in the context of Hashem having smitten Paro, the Negah, Hashem Paro, b'negaim gedolim, right, with great affliction. Bnei Yisrael leave, od nega echad avil Paro. Paro is smitten and was trying with a nega, negaim. Okay, v'yikra Paro Abraham. Paro calls Abraham and says, please daven for me, get this plague away from me. V'yikra Paro l'oshev l'aron Paro. Paro calls Moshe and Aaron and says, please daven to get this plague away from me. Both are sent out, right? Paro tells Abraham, kach v'alech, right? Take your wife and get out of here, right? Paro says to Bnei Yisrael, chu kasher dibartin v'alechu, right? Take what you have and get out of here. And they're both sent away, v'yishlechu oto v'erishto, right? V'yhi b'shalach v'alad ha'am, right? You have the same lashon of shlichu. Right? So clearly, right, you see, right, that these two stories are very much very much linked, again, both linguistically and conceptually. And this idea is not some, you know, modern literary, right, discovery, let's say, right? But we have this idea already in the Midrash, and the Midrash is quoted by the Ramban. Okay, if you turn the page over, right, we'll see the Midrash and the Ramban. And now what we have to try to figure out is, what's the point? Right? What's the message? Why are these two stories parallel to each other? What's the idea of patterning of three persons to see out in the tribe already in Bereishit? Okay, so if we look at the Ramban, right, we'll get to the Midrash in a second, but let's look at the Ramban. Okay, so the second quote on the second source in the sheet, Vayira Av Ba'aretz. And again, Ramban starts with just the conceptual parallels between the two stories. Hinei Avraham Yerad L'Mitzrayim Lefnei HaRa'av L'Gur Sham L'Hachyo Nafsho B'nei HaBatzoret. Right, Avraham went down to sustain himself during the famine, which again applies not just to Avraham but to B'nei Yaakov. So HaMitzrayim Ashkur Tu Chinam. Right, the Mitzrayim oppressed him for no reason. Again, applying not just to Avraham but to Yaakov, right, to B'nei Israel. Hashem avenged them with great plagues, again, not just Abraham, but the name Israel. Right? And he took them out with great wealth, again, close situation. And Paro said, again, in both cases, right, please leave. Right? He sends them out. Okay. And now the Rabban says, why? Okay, what's the point? Right? What's the message? And now again, later the Ramban says that there was a cause and effect of chet and onesh, that Avraham shouldn't have gone down, and therefore his sons are punished. But that part is later in the Ramban. What I want to focus on is the earlier part of the Ramban, which I quoted here. Okay, so Ramaz amas, he banag yadu mitzayim, if neha ra'av l'gur shan ba'aret, v'amitim yu'ud lahem v'yikhu b'hem ha'anashim, kasher amar, okay, etc. Just go, skip to the underline there, he just quotes all the parallels. Lo nafal davar mikom o ra'ha'av, shelo haya b'banim. Right? Not one thing happened to the father that didn't happen to the son. And again, because many of us are familiar with the famous, right, mindset of the Ramban, it just very much calls to mind the Ramban's approach of Ma'asei Avos Siman Levanim, right? What happens to the fathers, what happens to the forefathers, right, happens then to the children. And again, we have to ask why, right? What's the point? Let's continue. Then the Ramban quotes the Midrash. Okay, and again, if you want to look at the Midrash, it's right on top. Okay, V'hainyan hazeh parshuvu b'breishit rabbah. Rabbi Pinchas Hashem Rabbi Yoshe Omar Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Avraham. Okay, and this is the part of the Midrash that's important. Tzei uchvosh et haderech l'fnei banecha. Okay, go down and chvosh et haderech. Conquer the path, right? Prepare the way before your son. Right, and then the Midrash continues by citing all of these literary parallels. Right, I kind of say, Masha Katuv Avraham Katuv Vinadar, Avraham Katuv Yirad Ba'aret, Yisrael Katuv Kishnatim Shatayim Harav Ba'aret. And again, if you look at the Midrash, they quote all of it, Lagor Sam, Lagor Ba'aret, Kikarein Harav, right? It quotes you all these parallels. The question is, what's the idea? What's the idea that the Midrash is trying to express, and the Ramban is also trying to express by quoting the Midrash of Sei Uchvosh Et Haderech Lefnei Banecha, right? Why? Right? Why are the fathers, like the forefathers, supposed to do this before the sons already get there? What is the meaning of this phrase, Sei Uchvosh Et Haderech, right? Prepare the way. Okay, so I think that what this idea, what idea is meant to be reflected here is the idea that if what we have here is not just Yitzhak Mitzrayim, or Shibud Mitzrayim, and Yitzhak Mitzrayim, it's not just some type of isolated, random event in Jewish history, but rather, right, we're meant to see it as a pattern in Jewish history, right? And Hashem, right, by showing us, right, the multiple, right, times that the same experience happens, we start to see, right, patterns, we start to see purpose, right? We start to see meaning, right? Hashem is saying this is not just some chaotic, terrible experience that's happening to you, right, but this is part of a divine plan, right? It's thought out, right? It's prearranged, right? Meaning, and what's the point for B'nai Yisrael? So I think it's a dual message, right? One is, say uchvosh haderech lefnei banecha. Abraham, you do it first. So that when B'nai Yisrael get there, right, that in a certain way, the fact that this has happened to them before will give them a certain degree of hope, but a certain degree of fortitude, right? We've experienced this before, right? We did it in the past, we can do it again, right? In Israel, there's a famous quote, Avinu is Paron, Avor Gamitzeh, right? Anytime something terrible happens in Jewish history, right, Saddam Hussein, or it's whoever it is, right, your pistols go off all over the land, Haram Yerfezit, right, if we lift your power, we can lift you there, right? Meaning, right, the fact that Jewish history, right, is repetitive, right, in the sense that we've gone through trials and tribulations, but that our history, right, the history continues, and there's a the continuation of Jewish history, that in itself, right, gives B'nai Yisrael a certain sense of fortitude, right, a certain sense of courage. However, I think it's more than that, right? It's not just the idea that, okay, we lifted this once, we can lift through it again, but the idea that, right, if a pattern repeats itself, right, there's obviously a message. Like, there's obviously a purpose, there's obviously a function that we're supposed to be taking out of this continuing pattern. Right? And the question is, right, what is this message? What is the function? Right? What are we supposed to be gaining from this pattern? Right? So to understand that, right, and again, how it ties into the beginning where I already said what I think the message is, which is that we're supposed to be God's chosen nation, right, spreading his moral message to the world. But how do we see that from this story? So to understand that, we have to now move on to the next parallel. Okay, the next parallel being the story of Yaakov in the house of Laban, right? So now when I say that the story of Yaakov in the house of Laban parallels with Yat Mitzrayim, right, the first thing that probably leaps to many of your minds is that I'm not the first person to say this, right, and the Choker who found the parallel is not the first person to say this, right? We say this every year. We say this every year, Pesach, right, in the Haggadah when we say, right, Arami Oved Avi, there in the Shrine on Chazal say, right? Arami Oved Avi does not mean, it's a literal shot in the story, in the Parshat of Bikurim, which means my father was a wandering, right, Aramean, right? Arami Oved Avi. But rather, Arami, Lavan is the Arami, who tried, right, to destroy La'avod, right, La'aved, right, Et Avi, right? Chazal say, right, the Pasuk means Lavan tried already before Kara Lavan to try to destroy my lineage, my heritage, and what I want to show you right now is that Chazal, we're not Sam Darshening, right, to give you a nice idea so you can start talking about Laban in the middle of your Pesach Seder, but they were actually basing themselves on a very striking parallel in the story, in Sefer Bereishit, to the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and again, here, if you look at it, right in the second part of the sheet, okay, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Yaakov Bevet Lavan, and here I just listed it for you in terms of the events, right, that they both went through. Aleph, Kamalat Hanim Na'el Ivrim, meaning, right, there's the Jew, right, or here Yaakov and his family, or Yaakov and his family, right, in both cases, right, this Yaakov in the first story, Yaakov and all of his sons in the second story, come, and they are greeted by both Paro, right, and the Mitzrayim, and by Lavan in a very pleasant and welcoming fashion. That, however, after that, right, after the early period of pleasantness comes the later period of hard work. Right? It becomes less pleasant, excuse me, right? And both Lavan, right, and Paro, right, force Yaakov, right, and B'nai Yisrael into very, very, very hard work, right? Okay, next. B'nai Yaakov Mitzrabim, right? In both cases, however, during this period of oppression, right, this period of hard work, that the family of Yaakov thrives, right? Yaakov has 12 children during this time period, right? He comes with nothing, right? As he says, right? That I left with basically the shirt on my back, right? And I leave with stone, zakar, and we have the story of the sheep that keep, right, multiplying, right? Yaakov multiplies, B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim, by Yerbul, V'yishutu, right? From the old and the old. And again, it's a very unusual word in Tanakh, lifrok, to multiply, you have in both of these stories, and again, I'm not sure where else you have it in Tanakh, but not very often at all, right? But if wrote to Ishmael Ma'od, speaking about Yaakov in the house of Lavan, right? The Kasher, and you also can you give a chen yifrot, right? The Israel in Mitzrayim, the more you oppress them, the more they continue to populate. Okay, next, what happens after a while? Hamareach Zalah, Hamareach Nevakesh Lemnoa Hitrabut, Dam Pitzon Yaakov, Dam Pitzanav, right? The oppressor, right, or the host, attempts to stop the multiplication, the regrowth of the population. Both Yaakov, right, trying to trick Laban, trying to trick Yaakov with the sheep, right? If you recall the story, he's trying to tell Yaakov, well, you don't get those sheep, you get these sheep, right? And trying to keep taking away Yaakov's livelihood, and Hashem does not allow that to happen. And again, the story of Mitzrayim, right, the attempt to kill the sons and not the daughters to try to slow the growth of the population of Bnei Israel. Okay, next. In both cases, Hashem ra'ah b'tzevel ha'evrim v'rotzeh b'shuvam ha'atzav. In both cases, God sees the suffering of the Jewish people, right, and he sends a messenger and says, right, I see your suffering and I'm going to take you out of this place, right, and bring you back to your homeland. Right? Again, you can look at the Pesukim, both in Bereishit, Hashem comes to Yaakov in his dream and says, I see everything that you're loving is doing to you, and I'm going to now take you out of Mitzrayim, I'll take you out of, right, love on top and bring you to Eretz Yisrael, right? And also, Hashem says to Moshe at the snack, the burning bush, right, I am the God of your forefathers, right, I see the nation of Israel suffering, I'm going to take you out of this land, right, to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Next, right, the Vav is in the wrong place there, just flip it up a little bit. Okay, Bakasha l'shinua. In both cases, right, the victim asks to be sent free, right? V'yom Yaakov elavan shlachevi, ve'elcha el mikomi uva'arti. Right, let me go, right? I need to go back to my homeland, right? And obviously, right, Moshe says to Paro, right, shlach et ani v'yavduni, right? B'shem Hashem, right? Send us out to serve God, okay? And in both cases, right, they end up leaving Berchush Gadol with great wealth, right? And again, with this very unusual word, Vayitzal, right, this word Vayitzal, the Yimatzlu, to take advantage of, right, to kind of, I don't know, scrape the bottom of the barrel and kind of get everything you can out of it, both in the story of Lavan and the story of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Vayitzal Elokim and Mikne Avicham Vayitzehni, and Vayinatzlu at Mitzrayim, right? The great wealth is framed with this word of Vayitzal. Next, they run away, right? They run away, they are chased, right? I'm putting these together. They run away, they're chased, and they are caught in a series of psukim that, again, are strikingly similar, right? Vayugav Lavan Vayom HaShlishi Ki Barach Yaakov. Right, Lavan is told on the third day that Yaakov left, parallel to, right? Vayugav HaMelech Mitzrayim Ki Barach Ha'am. Right, Paro is told that Bnei Yisrael ran away. Right, Vayurdof Acharav, Lavan chases after him. Vayurdofu Mitzrayim Acharehem, right, Mitzrayim chases after Bnei Yisrael. And in both cases, they are overtaken. Right, Vayishag Lavan and Yaakov, in number 10. Right, and Vayasigu Otam, right, Lavan overtakes Yaakov, right, and the Mitzrayim overtake Bnei Israel at the Yam, right, at the shores of Yam Suf. Okay, so now, the question is, so clearly we see, right, that we have these two stories in Bereishit, one actually in Mitzrayim and one in Paran, that are meant, right, to echo Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And we have to talk now really about what's the point, why, right? Okay, so what kind of a message are we supposed to get out of these pre-slavery experiences, right, if we can call them that? So if you think about the history of the Jewish people starting from Abraham, right, and you think about what kind of a pattern we start to see. Right, I was going to draw you this little picture, but then I forgot to put it on the score sheet. Right, you end up seeing a very interesting pattern. Right, Avraham Avinu, where did he leave? He leaves Haran. Right, if I had a board, I'd put the board. Right, Avraham leaves Haran. Where does he go? Na'an. Right. Then what happens? There's a Ra'ab, and he leaves Na'an, and he goes to Mitzrayim. After Mitzrayim, he goes back to Na'an. Okay, now Yitzchak stays in Eretz Yisrael, he never leaves, which I think is important, okay? Then Yaakov leaves Canaan and he goes to Haran, exactly, right? He doesn't go to Mitzrayim, but first he goes to Haran, right? That's where his shivud happens. Then he leaves Haran and comes back to Canaan. Then he goes back to Mitzrayim, and ultimately Bnei Yisrael ends up in Canaan, right? And by the way, the next Golos actually is where? also charab, right? Meaning also gavel, right? Meaning all the same place, right? As that. Okay, so what we see here is a pattern that goes, right? Haran, Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael, Haran, Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael. Right, so what do we see here, right? We see that basically, right, what are B'nai Yisrael doing, right, in their history, right? There's not just one Hebrew in Mitzrayim, right? They go to Eretz Yisrael for some crazy reason, right? 400 years earlier, Avram shows up there, and then 400 years later, he's a slave, and then he comes back there. No, there's a much more specific pattern where B'nai Yisrael are constantly wandering, right, between Haran, which now I'll call Mesopotamia, right, which is what it really is, right, Iraq, the Fertile Crescent, right, and Mitzrayim, Egypt, right? They keep wandering back and forth between these two centers of civilization, right, and where do they keep ending up, right, with their middle, like, tier, what's here, the, like, turning point, the hinge being Eretz Yisrael, right, and again, in both of those places, they're oppressed, right, and they constantly return to Eretz Yisrael, right, so what's the idea, what's the message, okay, so this goes back to the question of why in the world Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, right, as our promised land, right, before I said that, that my belief, right, and again, based on the Sukkim, is that Hashem took us out of the Mitzrayim, right, to be God's chosen people and to send his message of morality to the world. But how are we supposed to accomplish that? We're supposed to accomplish that from our home base, right? Where is our home base? Our base is Eretz Canaan, right? At least that's true in the Tanakh, right? So if our home base, why Eretz Canaan, right? You couldn't have picked a more comfortable location. There's this tiny little land bridge, right, that keeps getting trampled, right, as everybody runs, right, from one major continent to the other major continent, and it keeps being overrun, there keeps being wars there, and right, you couldn't have chosen a more comfortable location, right? Why Dafka Eretz Canaan? Right, and the answer is, this is why Dafka Eretz Canaan. Why Eretz Canaan? Because Eretz Canaan is smack in the middle of, right, the two major civilizations of the time, right? Again, Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent, Iraq, right, the cradle of civilization, Haran, and Egypt, right? Egypt, the Mitzrayim, like the great culture, right? Right, the great empire, right, of again, of the ancient Near East, right? So why are they so stuck in the middle? Right, because that's exactly where they're meant to be. If they're going to give this great message to the world, right, where is the great message to the world have to be told from? But it has to be told from the heart of these two major civilizations, right? And again, we know these are the two major civilizations, and ultimately our promised borders are Minahat Gadol Daharpras, right, from the river, right, the Tigris River of Mesopotamia, Ad Nahar Mitzrayim, right, until the Nile River of Egypt, right? This is the great Near Eastern empire, right? And B'nai Yisrael's message is meant to be spread over that entire area, right? And that's why, like, they keep kind of wandering between these two areas, right? It goes to Mesopotamia, Eretz Yisrael, Egypt, Eretz Yisrael, Mesopotamia, back and forth and back and forth, because that's where their message, A, needs to be forged, right? That's why they need to experience, right, the shibud of both of those places to know how not to behave, right? And that, right, in order for that to be their area of influence, right? They're in the middle, and again, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're on the land bridge that everybody's got to pass through. Right, because if you're supposed to give a message, right, it's much more convenient that you give a message in a place where people will actually hear what you have to say. Right, so if they're in Mamash, the bridge, right, then everybody will be able to, right, hear and receive their message. Okay, so that, so now I've taken care of, right, the first part, which is, right, what is the major message of the Yisrael Mitzrayim? We found out, right, why are there precursors, right, in the Sefer Bereishit? Right, now we understand it, right? It's like this geographical kind of message. Now the last thing I want to look at is really, right, last week's parsha, Parshat Bishalach, Az Yashir, right, Shirat Hayam, which was B'nai Yisrael's response to Yisrael. So we see that Hashem over and over says, this is the message I want you to get. The question is, do B'nai Yisrael hear that? Right, do they get the message or not? Right? Do we know what time we're supposed to end? 10 minutes? All right. Let's try to do it in 10 minutes. Okay, we'll go to the Tishra Hayam. Okay? Did B'nai Yisrael understand what Hashem was saying to them? Right? Did B'nai Yisrael get the message that Hashem wanted them to hear? Okay? And what I'm going to obviously argue is yes, right, that they did understand it, and that Shirat Hayam is an expression of their understanding of the great message that Hashem charged them with in Mitzrayim. Okay, so if you look on your last sheet, right on the back page, right, here we have Shirat Hayam. Now, I put out for you the entire Shira. Now, what I want to do is just very quickly try to look at its structure, right, and then at its content, and see if by analyzing the structure and content of Shirat Hayam, we can understand, right, what its meaning is, what its central message is. Okay, so the first thing we have to figure out is where does Shirat Hayam start? Right, we say it every morning, we remember like this year, we start with, right, so, but where does the real Shira begin, right? What are the first words of the Shira? Right? And then we'll figure out what the last words of the Shira. But what are the first words of the Shira? What do we say? Ashir Hashem, right? That's clear at the beginning. The first words are not Ashir Hashem, right? The first words are Ashir Hashem ki ga'oga ah, tutrach rabavayam, right? Right after the Vayomu Lemor. Okay, so if that's true though, then what is Vayosha Hashem v'yom ahu islami amitayim? Right? Meaning, what's that there for? So one could say, well, that tells us what happened. However, that's not really true, because if you look at Pasuk Zion, and Pasuk Chaschet, and Pasuk Chaschet, that's the narrative in the Torah, right, in the Chumash, that tells you about, right, Neis Kriyat Yom Suf, right? Vayat Moshe Yadol Hayam, Vayishu Hayam V'yichatu Et Herechev Al-Afrashim, Uvnei Shal Alchu B'yavashah V'tov Hayam, V'amayim Ahel Chol Ma'am Mininam U'mislolam, right? Those Sukim, those are the description in the Chumash of the actual name. So what is Vayosha Hashem B'yom Mahula Yisrael Mi'am Mitzrayim, Vayar Yisrael at Mitzrayim Eros Tahayam, Vayar Yisrael Hayar Adol Asher Asa Hashem Mitzrayim, Vayar Uha'am Et Hashem, Vayar Nidav Hashem Moshe Abda. What is that? Right, so we're forced to conclude that that's some type of prose prequel to the Shira. Right, meaning it's not just narrative, right, it's not like just part of the, right, informational story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right, it's a prequel to the Shira, right, in, right, some type of more elevated language, right, it's still prose, it's not Shira, it's not poetry yet, but it's some kind of preamble or prelude, okay, and if you look at it, what's the Mila Mancha, what's the repeating word in this section, right, Vayar, now, the word Vayar is used differently, but in the beginning it's Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Eretz Tahayam, Vayar Yisrael Hiyad Gala Hashem Mitzrayim, right? So they Yisrael Vayar, they see. If they see what Hashem did. If they see that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, right, that He did this great miracle for them. And then how is the word used? Vayiru Ha'am Et Hashem. Not they saw, but they fear God. Right? Not, I don't think fear in the sense here of fear and trembling, but fear in the sense of Vayaminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo. Right, they believe in God. Right, and again, what does it mean they believe in God? Right, they didn't believe in God before. Right, again, what I think it means is, right, they are affirming, right, their affiliation, let's say, with God's great message. Right, okay, God, right, this is what you wanted to show us. Right, we see it. Right, we're with you. Right, we're part of the great, right, mission. Right, we get the mission. And again, right. Another reason that I think that is look at the end of the Shira, right? You have the same thing. You have this pasuk that's not part of the poetry, right? Pasuk Yitzchak, the last pasuk. He vatsu parol v'chol v'shav v'yam v'yeshev v'shav v'mehayam v'nesha v'chul v'yeshev v'yam. Right? That's not part of the Shira, but it's also not part of the information. We know that already. So what is that? Again, right? It's a prose codex, let's say, right? Epilogue. Right, that frames the poetic part with a beginning and an end. Right, we have a kind of summary, right, an introductory pasuk, and a summary pasuk. But if that's the truth, that two pasuk far is the end pasuk, what are the last words of the Shira? Right, what's the high point of the Shira? Hashem yiloch olam va'ed. Right, Hashem yiloch olam va'ed. Right, God reigns over the world forever. Right, until forever. That is the high point of the Shira. But that's really the message of Ashur. Right? And again, that fits in very well with what we've been saying. If that is what Bnei Yisrael say, we understand. Right? God, that's what we're here for. We're here to declare, right, that you rule the world, right, and that you have moral authority extended over the world. And just just to show you this in one other way, which is the contents of the shira itself, right? So I split up the shira, if you see, right, into three different parts, based on the fact that we have in every section concludes with a pasuk that has repeating words in the, right, the beginning and the end of the same pasuk, right? Yumin chashim, nedir b'chashim, chashim k'ratzoyed, mi chanocha b'en Hashem, mi chanocha nedir b'kodesh, ad yavoram chashem, ad yavoram b'kamita, right? Begins and it ends with the same, right, the same words, with the same language, marking, right, the end of every section. Okay, so what is the, and again, we'll do this very fast, we'll be done in 2 minutes, okay? What's the point of every section? So first of all, note that the first two sections are the past, or perhaps the present, right, Shira HaYam, meaning, right, what just happened to them, the immediate present. The third section does not cover the present. What does it talk about? The future, right? It talks about, right? Right now it's Kriyat Mitzrayim, right? Right now it's Kriyat Yam Suf. What does the third part talk about, right? As Nifalu Alafei Edom, Elaymo Avi Chazemu Ra'ad, right? Ad Yavor Afal Hashem, Ad Yavor Mzu Kanita, Tiva'emu Mitzayemu Bahar Nachatcha, Nachodesh Shuchata Af Hashem, Mitzdash Hashem Kanu Yedecha. What's that talking about? That's talking about B'nai Yisrael, not Kriyat Yam Suf. What's it talking about? Eretz Yisrael. It's talking about B'nai Yisrael entering, conquering and settling in Eretz Yisrael, right? Well, why are we referring to that in our happy song about Kriyat Yam Suf, right? Maha Kesher, what's the connection, right? That the nation will understand that why they're being taken out of Mitzrayim, right? For this mission and for this destiny they're going to fulfill in the future, right? In their gates in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, just to look at the content of all three parts, and again, we'll see this message coming through. What's the main idea of section one? Right, if you take a look at it, right, and if you look at Gimel, I underlined it because I think this is really the heart of the of this section. It also has that parallel. Hashem ish Muhama Hashem Shimo. What is being described here? What happened, right? Hashem acting as a warrior, right, destroying the Mitzri. Right? So what is the message of this part? This part is uniquely B'nai Yisrael's part, right? Right? You are Hashem, you are my God. Right, you intervened in my personal Jewish history, right? You saved me from my enemies. Right, God, you, right, we are your nation, right? You have, right, brought us with your intervention into our history. Okay, however, right, is it just Jewish history that Hashem intervenes in and controls? No, that's why you have part two. Right, what does part two describe? And it also describes Shira HaYam from a different perspective. So what does it describe? Right, right? What do? You freeze the water, right? You change the natural order of things, right? Water that normally flows has now become solid. But God, you don't just control Jewish history, you control, or the future of the Jewish people, you control the entire world, right? God is the master, not just of the Jews, but master of the entire universe, right? And that's why Amar Yez is here, which you would have thought of in the first part. But no, God doesn't just, right, control Jewish destiny, but he controls the destiny of all nations, and that, therefore, it ends with, because if you know it, Mi chamocha be'elim Hashem, Mi chamocha ne'adar b'kodesh, right? Meaning, right, what does it mean, Mi chamocha be'elim Hashem? Right, who in the world is like you, O God? Right, who is as strong as you? No one, right? God is the master of the entire universe. Right, and therefore, and again, that's the message of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right, the Nesel is the personal messengers of God to the entire world, and that's what they express in the third part. Right, the third part is, therefore, God, you're going to take us out of where we were. Right, we are going to affect the entire world. And again, right, Shulu Amin Yigazun Chil Achaz Yishrei Pashet El Feidom Alei Moab. Right, Yoshvei Kanaan. Right, all of the nations around are going to tremble to your word. Right, because of what you do with us. And what's the point? Ad Yavoram Chashem, Ad Yavoram Zukanita, right? Until this nation that you take, right, is going to be brought to Eretz Israel, they're going to be planted there, Tiba Emu Tiba Bahar Nachotcha, Machol Mishtikcha to Al Hashem, right? But the nation in Eretz Israel are not just, right, their own, right, right, masters of their own destiny, but they are God's emissaries in the world. It's God's mountain, it's God's Mikdash, right? Mikdash Hashem Kanu Yadecha. And ultimately, right, the message that comes out of Har HaBayit is Hashem Yimochanan Ve'ed. Now, just to end with the last thing I put on the sheet, and with this will really, really end, is the last thing I'm saying, which is that another beautiful way of seeing this idea that Bnei Israel understand what it is that Hashem wants of them is that parallel in Shmot Yizal and Shmot Tevav. Because in Shmot Yizal we have a description of what happened, right? It's Hashem doing all the miracles for Bnei Israel. And in Shmot Tevav we have Shirat Hayam, which is Bnei Israel's interpretation of what happened. It's what do we see? That the same words that are used for India again, the narrative portion that describes what happened, are being echoed by Bnei Israel. But they're using the same words again. Right, and what's the message of that? Like the message of that is, right, we understand. We see it, right? You did it, Hashem, right? Too many times in Jewish history that Hashem tried to tell Bnei Israel something and they totally missed the point. Well, you see how it's trying, right? We can all rejoice, right? We found the place where Bnei Israel actually understands. Right? And again, look at the Pesukim, Vayadokach Bnei Israel, right? Vayadishu, Vayasigu, Amar, Oyeh, Erdok, Asik. Right? Your Bnei Israel is going to be at Ramah, Sus, Recho, Ramah, Vayam. Right? Yeshua Hashem, Vayishu, Li, Yeshua. Hashem, Yerachem, Lachem, Hashem, Ish, Lachama. And again, I'm reading the first what happened, and then have Bnei Israel echo it. Right? Vayelach Hashem, Hayam, Beruach, Kadim. Right? Hashem blows this wind. Nashakta beruchacha, say Bnei Israel, right? Hamayim v'choma mimilam u'mislam, right? The water becomes solid, right? Nitzvu kolo neimuzim, right? Vayar Yisrael hayad hagdolah, if Bnei Israel don't use the word yad, but they do use the word netita yimincha, right? Your right hand, right? And, right? Bidol zo'acha, right? Your zo'ach, they allude both to the hands of God, okay? So again, right, what we see here, and I think what we can all take with us, right, is this idea that, right, this awareness of what our both individual and national destiny is supposed to be, what our mission is supposed to be, right, and hopefully we'll all be able in our own way to figure out, right, how that great and grand vision that God has for the Jewish people can be translated into, right, our individual service of God in our daily lives.